story goes that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, comes out of Beit HaMikdash. Vavu'ad leichuli alma batrei. And all of the all of the community is escorting the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Kevan dechazinu leshmaya v'avtalon, shvaku ledidei ve'ad libatar shmaya v'avtalon. What happened? Because the people see Shmaya and Avtalion, who are Shmaya and Avtalion? The Nasi and the Abbeitin of the Sanhedrin, they are the wise people, they are the Chachamim, they are the president and the deputy president, is that what you call Abbeitin? Of the Sanhedrin, of the rabbinical court. They leave the high priest and they go after Shmaya and Avtalion. You could just imagine what happened there. Lasof. Atu Shmaya v'Avtalion liftuay minei de Kohen Gadol. At the end, when they got to their home, somehow they wanted to, Shmaya and Avtalion wanted to show their respect to the Kohen Gadol, and they said goodbye, their greetings to the Kohen Gadol, to the high priest. What does the Kohen Gadol say to them? Amale, Kohen Gadol saying to Shmaya and Avtalion, Yatun v'nei amamin l'shalom. What does he answer them? What does the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, say to Shmaya and Avtalion, the Chachamim? He says, go to peace, the people, the sons of the nations. What does that mean? Says Rashi here on the left side, I know it's really small, but I'll read it in translate. He's saying, Yatun bnei amamin l'shalom, l'shon gnaihu, lefi shebao mibnei bunanav shel Sancheriv. He's saying, he's reminding them of what? Of their past. It seems that Shmaya and Avtalion were both converts, were both geirim. So, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, who's insulted and ashamed, insulted and was shamed by the fact that the people chose to escort Shmaya and Avtalion over escorting them, when they come to say goodbye, to show their respect, what does he say to them? Go to peace, you sons of the nations, reminding them that they are converts. So what does Shmaya and Avtalion say? As they say in Hebrew, lo nisharu chayavim. They say, yetun bnei amamin l'shalom de uvdin uvda d'aron. Velo yeti bar aron l'shalom de lo avid uvda d'aron. They say, they should go in peace. The sons of the nations that do like Aaron HaKohen, and not the sons of Aaron who do not do like Aaron HaKohen. What do they mean? What do they mean? Says Rashi here, you're not allowed to remind a convert of his past. Like you're not allowed to remind a Baal Tshuva of his past. So says Shmaya and Avtalion, you know what? Better us who are behaving like Aaron HaKohen, who always pursued peace, than one descendant of Aaron HaKohen who does not follow in the footsteps of his ancestor of Aaron. But here you see the friction between them. And you see the people are choosing, what should they choose, a Chacham over a Kohen over a Chacham? And you see there's this friction between them. There's this jealousy. There's this power struggle between them. Then we have another example. Do I have a time limit? I can go on? Till tomorrow?
Till tomorrow.
Okay.
Shabbos is a week getting longer.
Then we have a very interesting story. I'm just trying to show you the different frictions here. We have here now between a Melech and Chacham. First of all, there were many kings we know that persecuted the prophets. That we know, Achav and Eliyahu. But let's see the relationship between a Melech and Chacham, between Yanai HaMelech, who is the descendant of what? Hasmonean, right, of Chashmonai, who was his wife, he had a righteous wife, Shlomtzion Hamalka, who was the sister of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, who was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, who was the highest of scholar of those times. And let's see what happens with Yanai HaMelech and Shimon ben Shetach, the Chacham. Yanai Malka Umalkita Krichu Rista Behade Hadade. Yanai Malka and Malkita are eating bread together. And because Yanai the king killed all of the Chachamim, there was no one who could say the bracha for them. Amala ledvetei. He said to his wife, Yanai says to his wife, Shlomtzion Hamalka, the queen, Man yahiv lan gavra demvarech le'an. Who will bring us a man that can bless for us? אמרה לי, אשתבה לי דאי מייטין לך, גברה, דלה מצרת לי. אשתבה לה, said, swear to me, that if I bring you a man that can bless us, you won't cause him pain. עייתתי לשמעון בן שטח אחוה. They brought Shimon, she called for Shimon ben Shetach, her brother. Otfei ben didei ledida. They situated Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach lechacham between husband and wife, between king and queen, between the evil king Yanai and between the righteous queen Shlom Tzion Amalcha. Amalei chazit kama yakara avid nalach. He says, you see how much kavod I'm doing for you? Shimon ben Shetach, Yanai, the king says to Shimon, says, you see what honor I'm giving you? I'm putting you between the two of us, between the king and queen. You know what he answers him? Amar le lav at kama kolti. You're not the one who's honoring me. Ela oraita idem korali. The Torah is what's giving me honor. As it says, Selselau Torah mecha techabdecha ki techabkena. The Torah is what gives us honor. Amar la, says Yanai HaMelech to his wife, kachazid dela mekabel marut. You see that he causes trouble? It's not me. It's your brother, the Chacham, Shimon ben Shetach, who's causing problems. But you see the issues between them, the friction. Both of them have issues with the other one. Turn the page, and you see another interesting story, also with Yanai, and with Shimon ben Shetach. The whole explanation here is why we do not hold for judgment or put to sentence. How would you say? Lama lo danim. How would you say that in English? Why we do not judge the kings of Israel. So the Gemara comes and explains why there's that halacha, that minhag, that custom not to judge the kings of Israel. And they tell the whole story of Yanai. Once the slave of Yanai killed somebody. So if a slave kills somebody, you have to call his owner who's responsible. They call the owner who's responsible. He's Yanai HaMelech. He's the king. And Yanai HaMelech sits down while there's judgment. But when a person is judged, what does he have to do? He has to stand. So says Yanai, I will only, Shimon ben Shetach, his brother-in-law, says you must stand. So Yanai says, I will only stand if all of the chachamim here in the room say I should stand. He looks at them, and you know what they do? They look at in the ground. They're so afraid of him. They're so ashamed that they're not even willing to tell him to stand. I don't remember at the end of the story if Shimon ben Shetach is upset with them, curses them, and something happens, but he's very upset with the fact that they are so intimidated by the king. So you saw, and there are many other examples, you saw all these examples that show the different friction that we have between king and priests and chachamim and chachamim and the priests, and everybody is guarding his strength, his power. So you ask yourself the question, okay, so we understand now why we have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If there's all that friction between all of those contrasting forces in Yerushalayim and all of those egos and all of those different forces of leadership are in Yerushalayim, so what is the question we must ask? We understand why we have to pray right away after we say that in the Psalm, Kisham Alu. Look at the Psalm again, it says in Pasuk 5, it says, Kisham Yashvu Kisot Lemishpat, Kisot Lebet David. It says right away, we come to praise in the Mikdash. And because of there sit the chairs of the judgment and the chairs of the house of David. The king, the priest, and the Nasi. They're all there. And right of that, what do we say? Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. Ask for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's be safe. So the question that we must ask is what? Why put them all together then? Let's put one in Metula, one in Beersheba, and one leave in Jerusalem or somewhere else in Tel Aviv or in Ra'anana. Why put them all together if there's so much friction? Why cause that friction? So Rav Kook says a very beautiful thing. And let's read Rav Kook in English. You want to read him in English? Okay. I'm on the last page. Rav Kook says like this. Three forces, do you see where I'm reading? Thank you. Are currently competing in our camp. Rav Kook takes this and speaks about our times today, or more correctly, his times. The battle between them is especially evident in Eretz Yisrael, but it springs from the very life of the nation and has its roots deep in the expanses, do you say that? Of the human spirit. We should be unfortunate if we allowed these three forces, which ideally should be united to strengthen one another and at the same time prevent extremism, is each other to remain scattered, antagonistic, and schismatic. Now, what are these three forces? Says Rav Kook, the three forces in Am Yisrael, the three kochot in Am Yisrael are the holy, the nation, and humanity. In Hebrew, he calls it Kodesh. Where is that? Kodesh, Uma, and Enoshiyut. And he says, these are the three forces of which our life and those of every man are composed. It is impossible to find a permanent form of human life that is not composed of these elements, though they may vary in their strength and properties. So he's saying, why do we put the three together? Because if we scatter them, what is the danger that would happen? Each one will go to the other extreme. And Rav Kook believes we have to take these three forces and balance one another out. And he explains what are these forces are. He's translating it to his time. These are three official parties in the life of our nation. The first, the Orthodox Party, as we are accustomed to call it, carries the banner of the holy and pitches stridently, jealously, and bitterly for Torah and commandments, faith, and all that is holy in Israel. So if I would translate it to what we were talking about, Shloshak Parim, I would say the Orthodox Party, the Kodesh, the holy that he's talking about what? The Nasi, the Chacham, the Sanhedrin. The second, the new nationalist party, which he calls Le'om, Nation, campaigns for all the aspirations of the nationalist tendency, the desires of a nation, that after spending so long in bitter exile absorbing the values of other nations, wishes to reassert its own national life and conduct itself as it deems fitting. Meaning he's talking here about the Le'om, the national, the Melech, the Malchut, the Kiseh Levet David. The third, the Liberal Party, that so long ago bore the banner of the Enlightenment, whose influence is still great in many circles, does not fit into the national scheme and seeks the universal content of the Enlightenment, culture, ethics, and so forth. This, believe it or not, Rav Kook is referring to the Kohen, to the Mikdash. Because what does it say about Kihuna and about Mikdash? Ki beiti beit tfila yikare lechol ha'amin. Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be a beit tfila to what? To all of the nations. And what did we read in Yeshayahu? That in the future, Yerushalayim will serve as a place where all of the nations will come to worship. Now, if we take these three forces that he's talking about a force of Kodesh, orthodoxy, religion, that all the time what they're involved in is the Torah and learning and the mitzvot and all of that in the regular sense of the word. And then the second force he's talking about, the nation, the Le'om, the nationalist, the Zionist party, the Zionist side, and the third is the one who's always involved in humanistic causes. And he's taking these three and he's saying, these three are expressed in various ways always in Am Yisrael. And he's saying, if you take these three forces and you do not put them together and each one moves to the other extreme, what's going to happen? Not only if you separate them will they move to the other extreme, but what will happen? The more they separate, then what? The more extreme they become. Says Rav Kook, you have to balance between those three forces. And that's the challenge. That's the difficulty of putting them together, but that's the challenge. That each one of them is needed in Am Yisrael. And each one of them is needed to balance the other ones, to build a unified nation of Ki'ir Shechubra LeYachdav. Now we look at modern Israel today, and we see these three forces in Israel today. We see the Kodesh, we see the religious, I wouldn't call a party, I'm not talking a political party, but the religious Korach, that everything that is Kadosh and everything is Torah they're involved in, but many times they disregard anything that is Le'om, nationalistic or Zionistic, or anything that is talking about humanistic ideas. And then you take the party that is the party Halumi, the nationalistic party, that so many times they disregard anybody who's not part of their nation, and it can lead in the extremity to hatred to any other nation and becoming a gizani? How do you say?
Racist.
Instead of understanding, the true understanding that Am Yisrael is a chosen nation to be Or L'Goyim, to be light to the Goyim, not to be a racist. And the third party that talks about all of the humanistic ideas that are very important, the Enosh, the Adam, as he's talking about, but so many times there's hatred to anything that is religious, anything that is connected to Torah, and anything that is connected to Le'om, to even the Zionistic faction of Am Yisrael. And we have that in Am Yisrael today, and the only thing that can help us is the source, if each force can acknowledge the importance of the other one and come together in harmony. Because I find from my personal experience that the only way that we can cause each one not to go to the other extremeness is to meet together, to be in the same place. I know I serve on the city council of Ra'anana, and some of my best friends on the city council are women from Meretz. Are you all familiar with the party of Meretz? Which I would say serves for, they believe that they fight for human rights and for all of that. I would call that the La'om. And I feel that through my relationship with them, I have been able, I hope, to tone them down a little bit. I know, for instance, one of the projects that I'm doing with the woman who's one of the city council members from Meretz, and she is the head of what's called Mo'etzet HaNashim HaIronit, the council, the female council of Ra'anan. I don't know if you knew that a thing like that existed. Do you have that in Toronto? No? And one of the projects that we're doing together is, we call it Yadut Mimabat Nashi. We're doing learning groups together, religious women and non-religious, about women from a woman's perspective. And we all, sitting there in the groups, they have said, they look at us and they say, wow, we didn't know that religious women can be so enlightened or so feminist or so open-minded. And we look at them and we say, you know what? They're not so ugly. You know what? They're interested. And it's all a matter of being together, of uniting through knowing one another. But the more we, how do you say, we move apart, we polarize and we become more and more extreme. And if Beit HaMikdash, we know, was burnt, was nechrav because of sinat chinam, what does the Natziv Mivolozhin say in his introduction to Sefer Bereshit, to Sefer HaYashar? It says a very beautiful thing. He says, why is Sefer Bereshit, the book of Genesis, called Sefer HaYashar, the book of the straight? Because he says, God, Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov, our avot, were yesharim, were straight in their avodat Hashem. But he says, in the time of Bayit Sheni, in the time of the second temple, they were tzadikim. Chachamim tell us they were righteous. They learned Torah. They were gomlei chasadim. They even did acts of kindness. But they were akumim, he says, they were crooked. Because they were choshed. They suspected anybody that was not like them in their avodat Hashem, in their exact way of worship of God, that they are stoki and apikoros, that they are apikorosim, that they are, how would you say that, translate that, what?
Heresy.
And he says, in Kadosh Baruch Hu, hate tzadikim, sonet tzadikim kaila, that are akumim. He wants tzadikim yesharim, that leave room for other kinds of worship and other kinds of people. And I will end with the beautiful words of Rav Kook. Rav Kook says, she'im nechravnu, v'nechrav ha'olam imanu al yidei sinat chinam, that if we were destroyed, and the world was destroyed, and Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of hatred to one another, he says, "In echavnu echav imanu al yedei sinat chinam, meshuv libanot vibanei haolam imanu al yedei avat chinam." We will build and be rebuilt out of the love in avat chinam. So we should really all pray together. Yehi shalom bechilech, shalva ba'amunutayich, v'manachai v're'ai, adabranat shalom. Thank you.